robots are inefficient. Like, they are not taking over the world anytime soon. You know, I didn't realize that Hey Siri was a thing, but even if I tried it, do you know why it wouldn't work?
Why?
Because you set up my Siri account. Do you remember doing that to me? And now I have not had the, like, time to care about setting it up with my own voice. And so Siri doesn't recognize my voice half the time.
Oh my god.
Do you remember doing that in the car?
Oh, was this when I was reorganizing your home screen?
Yeah, totally normal activity. But yeah, you were organizing my phone and...
That sounds hilarious. I had completely forgotten, but it sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, you set up Siri for you. I don't even know. I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but not that sorry.
You're not that sorry at all.
I'm not sorry at all.
What's happening? How's life?
Okay, I think we should start on the travel section.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is actually really funny because when we made the notes like a week ago, it doesn't even seem that long ago.
Oh, that's so funny. You have no travel in your notes. Such a lie.
I literally have no travel. Okay, so one of my friends is coming to stay with me in London tomorrow and she's staying over the weekend. And then like 4 days after that, I go to see you in Barcelona, which I'm stupid excited about. And then, like, 3 days after I'm back, two of my colleagues are coming to London to see me.
That's so funny.
I went from, like, very consciously, like, not making any travel plans, being really good about my routine and everything, to just all of March is blocked off now.
I feel like I may have accidentally, like, kicked that off.
What bothers me a little bit is that, like, I had known you were going to Spain for a while and you were going to be there for a month.
Yeah, I feel like I told you a few times.
Yeah, you talked about it. Like, I knew it. And then I was like, why don't I just come see you in Spain? And you were like, yeah. And I'm just so annoyed at myself for, like, not, you know, coming up with that sooner. But I'm very excited.
Honestly, though. If we had come up with this sooner, like, we can't do too far in advanced planning, you would have had to cancel your flight. Like, you just, which is just a typical Habby occurrence. Books flight, cancels flight.
Yeah, I think I told you how my mom had some flights booked and she had to, like, something happened. And then my stepdad was telling me about this and he was like, oh yeah, your mom is traveling Habby style. Which apparently now is like a shorthand for like, oh, she had to like change all of her flights.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think it would have worked out if we had planned it too far in advance, but I am so excited that it worked out the way that it did, that we're going to see each other in Barcelona, because I don't know when the next time is that I would have seen you.
No, I have no idea.
I'm going to be back in London in December, P.S. I don't think I've told you that.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would have been December, but, like, March is way better.
December is miles away. We just had December. We can't have it.
I'm so confused about, like, the months and everything going on. I just feel like there's been so much going on that it's all blurred together. Everything.
What you mean... With work or with the news or with what?
Everything. Just, like life just everything. And work and news and travel. And like, I just feel like it's all really blurred together. I've been having to be very, very intentional about like being in the moment and enjoying the present because I've just had so many like flying objects around me.
I completely understand what you mean. And it's funny because I don't know, when I'm in London, I find that my routine is just so much better than in any other place. Like, I'm much better about, like, eating and exercise and everything.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, over the last, like, couple of months since Christmas, I've been very conscious about, like, not making any travel plans. I've just kind of been enjoying seeing my friends here in London. And it's been really, really nice. And I feel... It's been really nice. And it's just... I feel so lucky, like my life here is really nice and it's nice to kind of take aside time to enjoy that. I think, like, in the last 2 years, I haven't been in the same place for more than 6 weeks at a time.
That's insane.
Yeah, for, like, 2 years, which is a lot.
I know. That's crazy. Last year, I took 26 flights, Abby.
Oh, my God.
I was.
Do you want to do a competition for 2017?
Yeah. Let's see. No, I mean, I don't. I want to stay at home. I'm trying to say the same thing. Like, now that I've been in Toronto for a while, I'm just so into it. Like, I love having a friend who works two blocks away from me, and, like, we can go get coffee all the time randomly. And, like, I live on a street where there's so many cool bars and stuff, so anytime anyone's out, they can message me, and, like, it's right close to me. And I definitely feel like my actual life routines are more consistent in Toronto because it's habit, and, like, it's, like, spatial awareness habit. Like, I like to think that I have the habit of waking up and meditating, but it's really only if I wake up at home. If I wake up in another city, or if I wake up, like, if I'm staying with you in London and I wake up in your living room, like, the habit changes because I'm in a different space, and it takes my brain, like, that extra time to decide what I'm doing first. It's not a habit yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It also, like, especially if you're staying with somebody, what are you going to, like, whip out the yoga mat and just do a little vinyasa on somebody's living room floor? Like, it's really weird.
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. When I was in Vienna, I was really into body weight exercises, and I was specifically trying to be able to do push-ups. And, like, I was staying in a hostel. And it was, like, a female-only dorm, but there were, like, 8 of us, and I was up way before everyone else, and I just, like, rolled off the hostel bed and landed on the floor and, like, started doing push-ups. Oh, and I was like, it's no wonder none of these girls want to be my friend. Like, I'm, like, up early doing weird push-ups on the ground, and then I'm, like, working, like, running off and working. So, I mean, it's just weird, but I don't
know. I was just about to say, like, how do you have friends?
You are my only friend right now.
Oh, God, that's a lot of responsibility. I'm not sure I signed up for that.
You didn't.
Are you flying out tomorrow?
I am. Yeah, I fly out tomorrow after work.
Oh, my God. No wonder you're stressed. I'd be super stressed.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
I'm not helping.
Yeah.
Are you flying direct?
Yes, thank goodness. There are only 2 flights a week that fly direct, Toronto to Madrid. And I was like, absolutely, I'm getting on one of these. Because the transfers were all like, you can hang out in Frankfurt for 11 hours. And I was like, no, Frankfurt's the worst airport in the world. I'm not hanging out in Frankfurt for 11 hours.
God, these airport transfers. My dad had to go to The Hague. Do you know The Hague?
Yeah. I haven't had to transfer there, but, like, I mean, I know where it is.
Yeah, so it's, like, in Holland. It's, like, where all the, like, a lot of the international, like, the UN, you know, some of those things. And my dad had to go to one of these things for, like, a really important meeting. And he was trying to get a flight to The Hague, and they don't have any direct flights from Iceland to The Hague.
What?
So he had to fly... No. So that he had to fly via London. So they don't even have direct flights between Brussels and Iceland. Whenever my mom goes to Brussels, she so often has to go via London or via Amsterdam or something. So anyway, so my dad had to fly via London, and then he was looking at the flights, and they were all telling him to change airports in London.
What?
And I was just like, I didn't know this. And then my dad called me. He was like, hey, honey. Like, it was funny. I hadn't spoken to him in a little while. So I was like, oh, I need to speak to my dad soon. And then he called me, and he was not anything like, oh, I haven't heard. He was just like, hey, I'm looking at these flights, and they're all telling me to change airports, and I can't figure it out. Do you mind looking at it for me? And I was like, yeah, of course. So the problem was, because obviously, like, a lot of, like, the London business people have to go to The Hague. So all the flights between London and The Hague go from London City Airport.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the only business people use it, and only goes to, like, these super corporate locations. But apparently, I've never gone through there. Never, ever. So, like, none of the Iceland flights go to City Airport. So then I had to figure out, like, a different route for my dad. And also he, because he's busy, he had all these scheduling things. He was like, I can't leave earlier than this and stuff like that. So I had to figure it out. And I ended up finding, like, a British Airways route from, like Iceland to Heathrow and Heathrow to Amsterdam, and then you would have to drive from Amsterdam. And then he just had this most dramatic experience because his flight from Iceland to London was delayed. So then he was worried that he was going to miss his second flight, but then that flight was also delayed.
So by the time
he got to Amsterdam, he obviously still had to drive to The Hague to meet some important people, like, first thing next morning. And then by the time he got to Amsterdam, the car rental company where he had already booked the car was closed.
What?
So he had to get a train. And he said he literally got the last train with like 30 seconds to spare. And he had to like run through the airport and get to the train and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Your poor dad.
I know that it was like a super stressful, you know, meeting. And like it was, yeah, it was just all stressful and awful. And I just find it really funny because, you know, sometimes when like you're traveling, stuff like this comes up and you somehow think like when you're like a proper grown up, you like this doesn't really happen. Like sprinting to get the last train, you know.
Yeah, just, no, that still happens.
But it's so funny how like, yeah, it doesn't get less stressful.
No, it doesn't. Even like it's always like,
stressful.
One day when I grow up, I will have it figured out. And it's like, no, present Haley, future Haley is not gonna have that figured out. Life advice. You're never there. You can never accomplish it. Sorry, that sounded more depressing than I intended it to.
You can try, but you'll never be that.
Yeah. Yep. But you are one of the few people that I can talk to about and be like, yeah, I'm working on this thing where I track my life in a spreadsheet. And you're not like, oh, that's weird. You're kind of like, oh, yeah, this is my spreadsheet. Like, I think that's, and we actually did that with calendars. Like, you were like, I think I'm going to start scheduling sleep. And I was like, oh, I already schedule when I eat. So, like, what's one more thing?
That was a little bit of a joke, but yeah, maybe.
Oh, I actually schedule when I eat, but okay.
Well, I might actually do that. But do you use LifeSum? Do you know the app LifeSum?
No, I feel like you've talked about it before, but I never got it.
It's really good. And now they didn't used to do this. Maybe I have different settings now, but they sent you like meal reminders, which sounds so obvious, but it's surprisingly helpful.
Ooh, that's amazing. No, so what I do is like I do intermittent fasting. So I have in my calendar when I'm fasting and then like when I can eat essentially, which is just all the times that I'm not fasting. Yeah, but then I've been using, so I use Todoist for like task management, and I've been using Todoist like I've been using it as a timer essentially as well as a task management thing. So like I have it open all day, and then let's say I'm baking a sweet potato for like an hour, I will put a timer on and I'll have Todoist remind me about my sweet potato an hour from now. And it like that pops up and then it's like, oh, remember to email this person. And like, it's all in the same vein. It's just the lines between life and work are super blurred in my to-do list.
That's really interesting. I've never used Todoist, but that sounds really interesting.
They're actually a very cool company also, but they're I think I tweeted at one point. So I used to use Asana for task management, but Asana is for task management. Asana is amazing, but it's for teams. And like I was using it literally alone. I was just assigning tasks to myself. So there's all these like additional steps that you have to take because it's supposed to be for a team. But I was using it alone. Like it was a very lonely Asana project. And I was just like, I need to get out of here. So I think I tweeted out, I said like, what's everyone's favorite to-do list app? And I got some really great recommendations and most people recommended Todoist and I gave it a shot. And the way that you know that this is a real relationship between me and this app is that I pay for it now.
That's good. It's good. It's good to pay for apps. If you like them.
Yeah, I think that for me means that it's a serious, like, this is a serious app that I am.
Like you've committed to it. Yeah, I remember when I bought OmniFocus is really expensive.
Yeah,
I think
that's a real commit. That's like marriage. Like you are married to OmniFocus. Wait, no, but are you still using OmniFocus?
Okay, so this is the thing. So I've bought the bullet journal.
I'm so on board with the bullet journal.
So I've moved to paper and pen. And Haley, I'm not kidding.
I don't understand.
I feel like my life has changed for the better. It is. It makes me feel so zen. And I feel like every day I'm working on like fewer things, but I get more stuff done. It is just amazing.
What? Wait, paper and pen makes you feel this way?
I know. It's so funny because like when I was like younger, I always used to have a paper diary. I remember being, you know, like a kid at school, and I always used to have a paper diary. And it was really funny because I always made sure to write down all the homework we had to do.
Oh, same here. My agenda was my best friend.
No, but then I wouldn't necessarily do all the homework, but I just always made sure to like, write all of the stuff.
we had different habits in high school.
And it was funny because my, like, especially when I was in college, people knew I wrote everything down, and my diaries were sometimes better than like the super committed people. But like, I would just document very well what I was like not doing. So then
you're hilarious.
When I came to London and I was working like at cafes and stuff, I would always, you know, doing shift works, I would always have a diary and I would always write everything down. And then I think it was like Christmas, not this just gone, but the one before, like a year ago, I just realized the paper diary system was just completely not working. It was just not working. Like, it doesn't scale. And as your life gets kind of more complicated with more appointments and stuff, as you're working, it, you know, it just doesn't work. Like, what if you forget at home and then you forget a meeting? Like, it just doesn't work.
And also, it's a lot to lug around with you. Like, I'm all about minimalism. And so to take a notebook with me everywhere is like, that's pushing it.
Yeah, and this happened because obviously, like, I wouldn't take it out if I was meeting friends. So I just have it in my work bag. So stuff kept happening. Like, I made plans, then I forgot plans. Like, it was just not working in any way. So I kind of ditched the paper diary. And, like, over the last year, I've, you know, using, like, OmniFocus mainly for, like, managing just my life. But then it's so funny. Like, I feel like I've been really focused, like, on how to not be stressed. I feel like I have a very natural tendency to be stressed or have anxiety or whatever. And it's so unnecessary. Like, nothing in my life should stress me out. Like, I shouldn't be stressed. Like, there is nothing to, like, there shouldn't be anything to stress me out. But I was still just stressed all the time. And I felt like I was never getting anything done. And it's really funny, kind of like, in parallel to this, like, I loved the bullet journal. Like, I thought it was so beautiful.
And their video is great.
They have amazing, and they have like YouTube channels. Like, there's so many different people that talk about it on YouTube. Yeah. And
it's a very popular concept. Like, if you haven't heard about the bullet journal at this point, I would be very surprised.
Yeah. And so I just been eyeing it, but then I was like, no, Javi, you have moved away from the paper system. You've got back, like, internet.
Don't cheat on the internet, Habby.
Yeah.
Don't cheat on technology with paper and pen.
Paper and pen. But then I just ended up finally just buying it. I was going through, like, because I have like a wish list of things that I want, just like in OmniFocus actually. And I saw it and I've been thinking about it for so long. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to buy it. Just going to buy it. And then it came in the post.
Oh my gosh.
And it is so amazing. I love the system, like the bullet journal system. It's definitely Absolutely. What I'm using. It is very like getting things done. I don't know if you're familiar with that system, mm-hmm. where it's like, for those who don't know, it's basically just as soon as something comes to your mind, you write it down. And then every once in a while, you kind of look over all your notes and then you kind of group similar items together and then you schedule when you do them. So what has happened since using like the bullet journal is it's actually I don't actually work off the bullet journal, but it's almost like a triage that feeds then my calendar and OmniFocus. So instead of dumping everything straight into OmniFocus and then having to organize it through there, I have it in my diary. I can use the little guides to group things together. And then once you have like a list of similar tasks, then you schedule a time for it in your calendar. Which is like, so for an example, I've decided just in my life, because one of the things I'm just awful at and I hate doing is like life admin things, like bills. And those kind of things. And I hate it. And I'm always like not doing something I'm supposed to be doing. So now I've just set aside every Wednesday morning. I can't go to work till I've opened every letter, paid all my bills.
Oh my gosh.
And finished everything.
That's very impressive because you and I both have the same hatred towards the physical mail. When people send me things that are action items via mail, no. Like, I mean, my sister and I, if we send each other like notes and postcards, like that's very cute. But when people send me like information via mail, I'm like, no, this was inefficient. Why didn't you email me? But it's really interesting that you are choosing to do the bullet journal as your like initial brain dump.
Yeah, basically. And it's then what I realized, this is just something I realized kind of like after the fact, was what I was missing from OmniFocus and everything else is this kind of, oh, you've actually done something. Because the way I had my, I probably had my OmniFocus set up wrong. So I just felt like there was always more stuff to do. And I was always like deferring tasks and like pushing stuff back around. And there was just not like a good system in place. So, but like with the journal, I used to use the system when I had like my little paper diaries, like back in the old days. When I've done something, I use like a yellow highlighter and I highlight it. And okay. I just went back to that, which is very natural. But now I flip through my journal and so many things are done. And I'm just like, yeah, I've done things. Like I get this amazing like sense of like achievement. Hmm. Whereas like in the to-do list apps or in the calendar, like something in the calendar, a moment just passes by and then it's just kind of like it just passes by. And in the to-do list apps, like you get like a check mark, which is nice for like a second, but then it disappears and you don't see everything you've actually done. You just see everything you haven't done.
Yeah.
And I think that like was probably why I was always feeling stressed, because I felt like I could never catch up. I was never like on top of things. And then because OmniFocus pulls in the calendar, I can see, okay, so like on Wednesdays I do like live admin. I just assign all of the live admin things I have to do on Wednesday. So like when I wake up, I literally just have a list in front of me with everything I have to do and nothing else. So I can like kind of complete the day, which is very satisfying.
I feel like that's how I plan my Todoist though. Like I know what you mean about the physical like checking something off and then having proof that you've accomplished something. Like I totally get that. I think I really like checking things off, but I also really like keeping things clean. So the fact that the item that I've finished disappears makes me very happy, because I want to be able to move everything around and like move things to the top. But I also add meetings as tasks to my to-doist, and I add like times to those. So I have exactly what time everything is happening, and I have what tasks I have to accomplish throughout the day. And then I can add times for those if I think that those are going to happen at a specific time. So it organizes in that, like, I mean, Google Calendar is obviously where I keep my calendar because I work with so many people that use it. But it works that, like, planning for the week happens in Google Calendar based on, like, meetings that I have. And then I transfer those over to Todoist day by day so that I can, like, add the times for everything and, like, have reminders pop up for them. I think with a paper journal, I would... And like, obviously we're just different this way. I think I would forget some things in the journal, or I would start not wanting to carry it around anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, as I said, I kind of ditched the paper journal for a year, and I thought like I was just kind of over that phase of my life, but I don't know. Seems to be working for me so far.
If it works, that's amazing. I do have a notebook. So I got sent like this really beautiful notebook when I first started at work, and it's like all company branded and stuff, and it's really lovely. And I started using it because I started trying to do the bullet journal as soon as I started this job. I was like, I'm going to change everything about my life and I'm going to start using the bullet journal all of a sudden. And that's not really exactly how it happened. I did that I was trying to do bullet journal and I was trying to do time tracking. So I was trying to track exactly how I spent my time so that I could optimize it, because I was going from working in an office to working completely remotely again, and it had been a while. And that lasted like a few weeks and maybe served its purpose. But what I found is that I was using the notebook to like take notes during meetings, and I would either like I would lose things or I would forget about them. So I just, when I moved to Toronto and I like now have an enormous desk, I can actually have a notebook, and I have it next to me right now that I have open, but I usually keep it open for like when I'm doing interviews or talking to someone, and like in the moment I need to remember something, like if they're talking and I'm like, oh, remember this for after, but then keep listening so I don't have to like keep thinking of that while I'm listening. So I feel like that this notebook next to me is just like filled with like jargon at this point. Like a lot of it's crossed out and there's like circles and arrows and stuff, and it still feels cool, but I ended up needing like all of my tasks and items, like they all have to go into Todoist. And they have this super cute concept called Todoist Zero, where like you reach Todoist Zero instead of like Inbox Zero.
Oh, it's like Inbox Zero, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think that the key to like any system is the integrity of the system. So obviously, like for you, if you move everything into Todoist and then you kind of like obviously that works for you. And I think what I like about the, it's funny because I read parts of Getting Things Done and I couldn't really relate it properly to like the OmniFocus system. I found that like OmniFocus would just get full of things very quickly. But with the journal, you want everything to be crossed off. Or what I have found is an extremely useful mark is what I like to call waiting. So a lot of what I do is I'm waiting for something that somebody else is doing. And like, I can't rush people to do it. Like, they obviously just have to, you know, it takes the time it takes. But it's so stressful trying to remember what I had to check or make sure was okay or follow up on this or do something like that. And like, Trello isn't really what we use for work. Like, obviously, it's not optimized for this kind of purpose. It's optimized for the people doing the work. It's not optimized for the people that are like not necessarily following every single task really closely, but just kind of keeping an eye on specific things here and there. So what I found really useful in like in the journal, I can write stuff down like, oh, I want this to be done. And I know it's in progress, but it will probably won't be done till like next week or something. So I can just do a little W next to it. And then it's not stressing me out, but it's not done either because I can't check it off because it's not my job to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. It's interesting that you bring up Trello because I know that you are a really big fan of Trello. And I realized recently that I don't know. It's not that I'm not a big fan of Trello. I just keep forgetting to use Trello. Like, it's not in my systems. So I don't go in there. Like, I use Dropbox paper to write things down, to like make notes and plan and do all of my writing. And I use Todoist and I'm in email. And like those are, and like Slack for communication. But like those are pretty much like the only places I spend time. So I keep forgetting to go into Trello and I want to use it. Like I like the idea of being a person who uses Trello. It's just not happening for me naturally. I don't know.
Do you mean for like using it for yourself?
No, even for anything. Like, we have a couple of Trello boards. I haven't looked at them in months.
Yeah. See, I think Trello works really well for teams and for, like, task-driven things. To me, what I don't think it's great for and what I think a lot of people try to use it for is lists. And this is actually another thing. So I used to – this is another thing I'm changing in my system – is I used to use OmniFocus for lists, which is why it just kept growing and I would kind of lose overview and oversight. This is also why I like the bullet journal where I like, because you have like February and you write down everything you want to get done in that month. And then you have like the daily log, which, so it makes it easy to keep track on like bigger tasks that are maybe like going to take place over a few days. And then just basic little things that you have to do all the time. So like in OmniFocus, I just felt like I just kept losing track of everything and there was no way for me to get an overview with everything. And so I think that's why I was just always stressed and always really overwhelmed about everything.
Yeah, it's also a very complex tool. Like, they need to train you on it, essentially. Like, I remember one of my colleagues is very keen on using OmniFocus and he was like, if you decide to buy it, like, let me know and I'll spend like a half hour showing you how I've set mine up. And I'm like, what? It's gonna take a half hour to learn how to do this? Like, I don't know. But so where do you put your lists now? In bullet journal?
No, so I use Byword for lists.
Oh, okay.
Which is like amazing because, and I have so many different lists now. I have one I call places. Mm-hmm. So if somebody, like, you know how sometimes you just see an amazing mountain or something on Facebook and it just looks like paradise and you're like, oh, maybe I want to go there one day. And then you're obviously never going to remember that because it's maybe called something you're just not going to remember. So I just take the name of the place and put it in the list. And then when I was in New York with my sister, we went to a bunch of nice places and I got also a bunch of recommendations from people like where to go. And that all goes like in the same document. So then actually what happened is like one of my friends was like, hey, I'm going to New York. What do you recommend? I could literally just copy paste all of the good places and send it to her within like 2 seconds.
That's amazing.
And it syncs really well between like the computer and the phone.
So important. Just like the most important feature.
It's so important.
I've never even heard of Byword before you mentioned it, unless you've mentioned it to me before.
I really like it. It's just so simple and it uses markup.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you told me. Okay, now I remember. Now I remember. So I'll check that out. I use Workflowy, but not consistently. It's just not in the system. So every now and again, I go into Workflowy and I'm like, oh yeah, these are some additional. Actually, I don't even use it for books I want to read. I don't remember what's in there anymore.
I find Workflow has the same problem as you were talking about with the notebooks. It's like, yeah, you can get stuff down there, but then if you don't remember to like move it away from that to a different system, it just kind of gets lost.
100%. The first time that I discovered Workflowy, I spent like hours in there and I sent everyone that I could think of that could potentially like it the referral code so that you get like additional bullets or however it works. And I had so many because I was like immediately, like I was tweeting it and I was emailing it to people and I was like one-on-one Facebook messaging people and I was like, you have to try this. And I was getting all these crazy referral points and I honestly haven't looked at Workflow in like a year now. It just isn't the system for me. Again, I like the idea because I love lists, but you're right. It's so easy to get lost in there. You have to be like really maintenance oriented.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. Think about all the different apps that are to-do list app, basically, because I think people's brains just work in different ways and whatever works for you, works for you. And the biggest and most important thing is like, I think the integrity of the system, like you have to, if you're using Todoist, you have to like check it every day and you have to complete the tasks you've set out for yourself. And if you're using Journal, you have to go and read it every day and go through your notes, previous notes, and see if you're forgetting something.
I agree. It's commitment. Like you have to commit to one system and that has to be your system. And like, that's just, you're devoted to it and it can change obviously, but like I don't go around using sticky notes for to-do lists. Like,
oh gosh,
I have a lot of sticky notes. Oh my God. I love sticky notes. You know what I use sticky notes for now? I've been taking Spanish lessons in preparation to go to Madrid tomorrow. And throughout the class.
Oh my gosh.
Why are you laughing at me? Hold on. Let me finish.
Just already laughing at you.
I know. Hold on. Wait. The reason I use the sticky notes is that sometimes throughout the class, I'll take my notes on sticky notes really quickly. And then I want to rewrite them in this lovely journal that I have specifically for Spanish language things, but more beautifully. So I like refuse to write in this notebook in a way that isn't like clear and intentional. And like, so I don't use it for notes. I use it as like a study mechanism. I don't know. Anyway, so that's why you use it. Why are you laughing at me?
That's not that weird. I thought you were about to say that you have written like the Spanish word for like all the furniture and stuff and sticked it around your flat. I thought you were going to say that.
Well, I haven't done that this time because I know all of the Spanish words for like the furniture, but I definitely did that when I came back from Germany.
Oh my God. This is why I'm laughing. You didn't even have to tell me that.
I was 16 when I did that. I was 16.
Even if you didn't do this now, you have done this. I have now. Oh my God.
Wait, you called it? You called that I would be the kind of person that would do this?
Yeah, I completely called it. I was right.
You know, you were right.
Audiobooks. You listen to audiobooks, don't you?
I do. I have an interesting system for audiobooks now, though.
Oh, okay. I want to hear more about that. But for me, I always struggled with this kind of genre of books that make sense in an audiobook form, because a lot of the books that I read are kind of complicated. Like, they're nonfiction, and sometimes they're about, you know, some kind of complicated concepts or whatever.
You read a lot of, like, economy books, too.
Oh, my God. This is my friend. She was staying with me, and I apparently said this phrase, I'm drawn to books on economy or economical concepts. And she just looked at me like I was the biggest weirdo on the planet. And I was like, thank you for being my friend.
No. Yeah, I know you read books that are like on economy. And I find like those kinds of books, when you read them, sometimes they'll like spout like stats at you or really complex concepts. And it's hard to hear it. Like, because I would have to reread it. You know what I mean? Like, I would read a paragraph, and if it was really complex, I would like read it again.
I'm exactly the same. And also, I love, this is why I love the Kindle. And I actually read on the Kindle on my phone, which is funny, but the Kindle on the phone is better than the actual Kindle, in my opinion. But that's a discussion
for another time. I've never tried that. Okay, that is a discussion for another time.
Yeah, I really love it.
Let's table that. Then,
yeah, then you can like, obviously like highlight stuff, or you can see like the definition of a word, like if you're not sure. So I really love reading, and I think those kind of books, like economy books, work really well on the kind of that kind of online format for the book. But audiobooks, no, it would just not make any sense. You would just get lost so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Then I finally was like, okay, what books make sense for like an audiobook format? And then I kind of, it clicked with me, like biographies, like they make sense. Because,
oh my gosh, this is why you were like, have you read Steve Jobs biography? And I was like, no, Happy. And you're like quoting it to me, and I was like, what is happening? Okay, this makes so much more sense now.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, biographies, they make sense, because it's just a story about somebody. It's not like, oh, you don't understand the concept of them going to college, like, you know, it's just a story, and it's really straightforward. So yeah, I listened to Steve Jobs's biography, which is really interesting, and I especially for somebody who does product, it's really interesting just to see his, I know he's like a really controversial man, but it's really interesting to see his you know, just integrity with making good products. And it's funny kind of to think about some of the Apple products coming out now, which is also a discussion for another time, but his kind of incredible, you know, commitment to like making everything flawless, which obviously created really iconic products that we obviously all use.
Yeah.
And then kind of instantly after that, so that book is written by a man called Walter Isaacson. And my dad over the holidays gave me this book called The Innovators, which is basically about every single person or teams that were involved with just creating computers and the internet. And ooh, yeah, and I was like, it's so funny because my background's not like in engineering or anything. So I obviously use computers and my phone and everything all day, every day, just always. I'm never not with my phone, just literally in my hand. Yep. Or right next to me, or under my pillow.
I don't know why it's not attached to our bodies at this point. Like, it will be soon. I'm sure like future generation people are going to look back and they'll be like, why didn't they just implant that in their wrist? Like,
exactly. But it's really funny, I remember actually a couple of years ago asking like my parents like how the internet works, because I just didn't know. And it's funny, like you use it all day every day, and I know they break information up and send them through network something, but I didn't really know how it worked, like at all. And
I get that. I remember asking the SEO person at like the first startup that I ever worked at. I was like, wait, so how do you get a website online? And like, just the concept of like servers and hosting was just foreign to me. But anyways.
Yeah. So it's all these things everybody uses all of the time. And because it's so new, like it's such recent history, like I'm pretty sure they don't really teach it in any schools. And the story is actually really interesting, because like you obviously had to have the computers first, and then you had like the internet. And then like the book kind of just covers the story of how, and it starts all the way back in like the 16 or 1700s, which is fascinating. And it kind of traces back all the innovations that were required. And what really kind of, I think this is one of these books that is not like super enjoyable, like when they were like finessing some component of the computer, you're not like fascinating, like, you know. But it's really interesting to like have it as a whole piece and have listened to it.
Okay, so this one's an audiobook too.
Yeah, it's also by the same author that like did the Steve Jobs' biography.
I see.
So I think the two are like very interesting together. Like I listened to them one after the other, My dad actually gave me the physical book, and then I gave that to my other friend to read it, and then I got the audiobook.
And then I gave that right away because I was like, what on earth is this of use for? And I went to the internet.
It's such a vastly not superior experience to have the physical book.
Oh, I don't know. There are some bookworms that would argue with you, my sister among them.
Yeah, but she's going to be mad at me now.
No, it's okay. But so that's super interesting because I feel like we came to a very similar conclusion. Like there are a lot of self-improvement books that I really like. For example, I'm reading Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss right now, which is just like the ultimate self-improvement book, I think. And I wouldn't be able to absorb that information through audio for the first time. But mm-hmm. I think what I've been using audiobooks for, so I'm reading that one, obviously, like on my Kindle, because neither Habby or I have physical books lying around. Although actually, I do have a couple right now, but that's an anomaly. That's not something that usually happens. And so I've started using audiobooks to reread books. And I think that this is something that people don't, so I actually had a book swap last night with some girls in Toronto. And I mean, that's my idea of like the most fun evening ever. And it was a blast. And I actually posed this question to the group. There were like five of us. And I asked everyone like, does everyone reread books? Or like, what's your policy? And they looked at me like I was a crazy person. And they were all like most of them had never reread a book, first of all. And then the other one was like, oh, I think there's like one book that I've reread. And I was like, what? I feel like reading a book once is not enough. It's like watching a movie. Like for me, watching my favorite movie, like you watch your favorite movie more than once. And some of the novels that I really enjoy, I reread annually. Like every year at some point I will reread them. They're actually physical novels because I've had them for a long time and they're really like worn. But what I've started doing with self-improvement books is the first time I read them, I have to physically look at them. But the second time, I'm okay to just listen because I think that audio, like listening to either an audiobook or listening to a podcast, when I do that, I'm always also doing something else. So it isn't my full attention span. Like I'm emptying the dishwasher or I'm driving somewhere or I'm walking somewhere. Like there's another part of my brain that is in use. Whereas when I'm reading, I'm usually lying down in bed reading and like my whole self is focused on reading. So I think that for me, like audio consumption of things through either podcasts or audiobooks is useful for like relearning things. And so I just listened to for the first time, but I had read the book before called The Happiness Advantage by Sean Aker. It's a really good book about, and he uses like all these really cool studies. He was a Harvard researcher for a very long time. I guess maybe he still is. And he cites a lot of research in this that links happiness to success. And I think that if I had first listened to that and listened to all of these numbers and like, it would just not have worked. But because I listened to it for the second time and I already like knew most of the core concepts of the book, it was like refreshing.
It's really interesting. Do you know a person on the internet called, I think, Tobias von Snyder or something like that?
I do not. Should I follow him on Twitter or like where is he?
Yeah, so he's like an interesting person. So he's a designer, I believe, from Europe, like Switzerland or some random place that now lives in New York. Very kind of like typical Brooklyn hipster. And he has like a blog and a reading list and an email list and all these different things. And in one of his many, many blog posts, he talked about a really key takeaway, especially if you're reading to learn, like not just reading, you know, fiction for fun. The rereading process is extremely important.
Yes.
And it's funny because to me, like my book list is so long. I feel like I can barely get through it. So to me, I'm like adding a reread. Oh my God.
So you don't? I feel like I would just... You're like, this is just something else. So you don't reread at all?
Well, like actually speaking of rereading, I finished all the audiobooks with the Walter Isaacson thing, but so many of my friends are obsessed with Harry Potter. Like so many.
We've had this conversation so many times because my sister is obsessed with Harry Potter. So this is like, we have a lot in common.
This is so weird because it's like, I remember being a kid and I liked the books. And then, you know, a lot of time has passed. Like, the movies, they came out like 10 years ago or something. Like, this is not news. And I feel like the obsession with Harry Potter is just increasing. Like, I feel like it's not going down. It's like getting more and more. And I was literally sitting with two friends.
It's because J.K. Rowling's great on Twitter. Anyways, go on.
No, I mean the people that are like obsessed with Harry Potter, like they don't really care about her Twitter. Like, they're not even on Twitter. Like, it's just people. And so I realized, because I don't even know what I have with Amazon. Like, I pay them money for some services. I think it's because I'm on Prime or something. I get Kindle Unlimited.
I'm not sure about all the Amazon perks.
I don't even know what I'm paying for, but I pay them some money, or I already have. I don't even know. And then I get stuff from them. I don't understand our relationship, but like.
I mean, it sounds like a great relationship. But so are you trying to say what's happening?
So I'm not done. So because of this, whatever system I have with Amazon, I get Kindle Unlimited, which basically means some books you can get on Kindle for free. Like, you can read them for free.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then I remember so my friends were talking about Harry Potter, and I was like, I wonder, like, maybe I should read the Harry Potter books again. And I went on Amazon, looked them up, and they are on Kindle Unlimited. So I could get all 7 Harry Potter books on my Kindle for free.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, okay, why don't I just start reading Harry Potter again? So I just finished the Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone like 2 days ago.
What?
Okay. I'm rereading Harry Potter now.
I have so many comments about this.
Okay, you go.
I just want to laugh for a little while. Oh my god, you don't reread books, but when you do reread books, it's Harry Potter, even though you don't understand why. Okay, anyways. Two things. One, remember when earlier I said the next time I would be in London would be in December? I don't think I've told you this yet, but my sister has yet again booked tickets to go see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child in London. That's why I'm going back in December. And for the audience to know, if we include this, if we don't cut this out, because it's just so much ridiculousness, the reason that this is funny is that just last August, I went to London with my sister and we saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child together. So this is going to be... Is it? Yeah, like a year and a bit later that she's seeing it again. She found more seats for sale and booked more tickets. So one, we're coming back to London because my sister found Harry Potter tickets again. And two, I just FaceTimed with her on the weekend and she was like, I'm so excited for December. And I was like, I don't really think that far in advance. Like, I have a hard time conceptualizing anything past next week. And oh my gosh, I'm going to see you next week also, which is crazy. But see, this is why, like, I just don't believe in the future past 7 days from now. And my sister on FaceTime was like, yeah, well, I mean, if we're going to go see this again, which apparently we are, she's like, you have to reread all the books. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And not just me, like everyone that's invited. And so she bought 6 tickets and she's like, we all have to reread the books. And I'm like, excuse me?
Oh my god. This is the funniest thing that I've heard.
I knew you would love this. I was like, so funny. Can we just watch the movies? She got so mad at me. She was like, they're not the same.
I don't even think I've seen all the movies, to be honest.
I was like, can we just each read a book and summarize it for the other? Like, what? And actually, Habby, you're involved in this now because you've read a few. So. Can you just actually, oh my god, this is better. If you planned on reading these anyways, do you want to just like funnel me the details that are only available by book or something?
Oh my gosh. You should have like a WhatsApp group where like where it's like, all right, everybody needs to have this book finished by like next week or whatever.
And then we're gonna have a group meeting.
The good thing about it though is like, because I read a lot of like nonfiction, which is like complicated things, but because of Harry Potter, especially the first one, is essentially a children's book, you read it so quick. Like, yeah. It just flies by.
But it's also a break for your brain.
Exactly. It's been really enjoyable. I've really liked, you know, reading it. And because I don't read a lot of fiction anymore, it's actually been really nice to kind of... And also because you know the plot lines, so, like, you kind of see where, like, J.K. Rowling is, like, planting seeds for, like... you know, future events, which is really nice to kind of like look out for those.
I know. I like that. So it's interesting. I have all these friends that I talk to that are very successful that don't read novels. And I've always read novels. Like I consider novels, and I don't watch very much TV, I would say. And I've always considered novels like movies in my head. And so I've always had, what I do is I balance out and I'm always reading, well, currently this is my system, a self-improvement or a business book. Like the other book that I have on the go other than Tools of Titans is I'm rereading Money Master the Game by Tony Robbins, because he just has so many good like financial exercises in there. So I'm rereading it as in like I'm redoing the exercises. But like that's like heavy literature. Like he's talking about investing and he does a lot of like percentages and you have to do a lot of math and calculations. Like have a calculator, well, aka your phone, and a notebook handy when you read this book. And so I always pair that with a novel, which is lighter reading, which gives your brain a break. And right now the novel is one that you recommended, actually.
Which one?
Shantaram. I'm actually reading so many books that you recommended right now. I've told you you're like my favorite book recommender. Not a word, but you know what I mean.
That is such a great honor, though.
This is real. This is real. I now trust so much of your judgment, because the other one, so like Shantaram is fantastic. Also a really long book. And I got so into it, Habby, that I can't stop reading it. Cause I feel like this book is so long that it's gotta be 800 or 900 pages. It's so long.
Yeah, I think it's 900.
It's 900 pages. If I put it down to take a break and read another book and I came back to it, I would have forgotten everything. Like it's the only novel I'm reading right now. I can't do anything else. And I'm 75% of the way through. So I think I'm going to finish it when I'm in Spain next week. Oh my gosh, we can talk about this when we're in Barcelona together.
Maybe I should revise, because this is why I love using the Kindle on the phone. It's because I use the highlights actually quite a lot. And same. It's nice because you can go through the highlights, and maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that on the plane or something on the way.
You should. That would be great. I would love to chalk over Shantaram with you, because it's just such a good book. And the funny thing is, actually, you didn't recommend the book to me. What is hilarious is that you once gave someone what I think is the coolest gift, and you built them a travel guide.
Yeah, that was I literally just remembered that the other day and looked at the link again. It was actually really nice.
It was a beautiful travel guide, and it was like an online website where she could go, and like there was just all these travel tips, and one of the travel tips was get a long book that you can just like read in airports kind of thing. And you linked to Shantaram, and I actually clicked the link, went to Amazon, and got it on Kindle immediately. Like I just like looked at it, read the description, I was like, this is up my alley, and I was like, I'm just gonna get this. So you didn't even directly refer it to me.
Oh my god. I find how it's so funny how you and I have this relationship where we're like checking out each other's work, because literally today, I don't remember why, but I was deep in the buffer blog land. I don't even remember what I was checking out, and I found the Pinterest that has all the books everybody's reading.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And I was like, I love it. I think it's so cool.
Yeah. It's super cool. I don't check the Pinterest board anymore because we have a Slack bot. So anytime anyone grabs a book, it goes into this one Slack channel. So I can like just check out what everyone's reading. And there've been some really, really good books. And it's funny because like some of us will all go through phases where like, everyone at the company reads The Essentialist, and like everyone at the company picked up Tools of Titans, and like When Breath Becomes Air was a novel that like everyone was reading at one point for a book club. So we all go through phases, but it's true. I love being able to see what books like my peers or like other people are reading. And the other place that I do that is I'm an obsessive Goodreads user. My sister got me into it. I never thought I would use an app to track the books that I read and to find new books. I never thought that would be a thing. And it's one of my favorite apps. Like it almost made it onto my home screen. And you know, we'll have to dive into that in a whole later time. But like, you know how important home screen real estate is for me.
Oh, yes. Also, I think Goodreads, if they're listening, hello. I hope they are listening. Their logo is so ugly. It doesn't fit with any of the other app icons. I have had so much trouble with the Goodreads app on my phone because it doesn't fit with the colors. on the rest of the screen, and it just drives me crazy.
I don't even think we can do this entire topic enough justice. Like, we don't have enough. This is a whole other episode. We've spent a ridiculous amount of time organizing our home screens. I think it's optimized. I also think my boss realized I was insane today when I told him that laundry day is always on Thursdays. It's been 3 years. And he, like, looked at me and I was like, it's normal.
You know, you sound like Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory.
I don't intend to. I'm not that strict. But it just, like, I enjoy not having to make decisions.
See, this is actually something it's why I really like the bullet journal as well. It's because what it's doing for me, it's separating the remembering something process from the planning process and the planning process from the getting it done process. So, yeah. Like, you think of something, you put it down, you trust your system enough that you know at some other point you're going to plan stuff out. And then over the day when you're actually working, you trust that, you know, the previous you that was planning everything accounted for everything. So you don't have to worry about anything. You just do what, like, the list says. You don't have to worry about anything else. You do nothing more, nothing less. And you know you've done everything. And that's just such a, like, great feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really have anything to add there. I completely agree with all of that. I'm all about the system. I'm all about trusting the system and creating the system and then just believing in the system and letting it run your life. I'm so glad we dived into all of that because I've been so confused. I've been like, you messaged me. Well, at first I saw on the list that pen and paper was on the list. And I was like, wait, why is pen and paper on the list? And then you showed it. I saw it in a Snapchat when we were planning Barcelona. And you had messaged me that you were using pen and paper. And it's just like, enough was enough. I was just like, why on earth is Habby using pen and paper? Like, what fresh madness is this that she is using pen and paper? So I'm really glad we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah. Did it answer your question?
I did. Now I understand a little bit more. I want to check in with you later. I want to see, I'm going to want to know how this is going. Cause I do think that you now have like a 3-step system essentially. And I don't know. I just want to see if that can be maintained. So we'll have to follow up on this.
I have follow up questions waiting. maybe the next episode will be recorded in Barcelona.
So actually, do you have enough space to just straight up bring your Yeti?
Yeah. I'll bring the Yeti.
I'll probably bring
a big suitcase, to be honest, because I know you could go for 3 months with just a small suitcase. I can barely go for a weekend without my big suitcase. So I feel like we're on the opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to this.
I think that this is another follow-up that we should do one point. We should do how we each pack and what we bring.
Do you know my travel checklist is like 84 items now?
Yeah, we definitely have to go over this in another episode.